Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, the millennial generation, as a matter of fact, this is the first generation that there's actually more unmarried people, that millennials, than there are married millennials.
Oh, wow.
First time ever. And it seems like people have stopped trying to reach out for them. And we're excited. It's one thing that we really focus on and have a passion for is to reach. We've been doing it ever since the Malachi mandate. We'll be showing you more about it in the future. But this generation's hungry for authenticity. And just family. They'll go to Starbucks, and you'll see. Doesn't matter. Pat and I were in a coffee shop just recently, and there was a young man there. He was a millennial, and he is studying for his chemistry test, which, you know, Pat's excellent at those kind of things. Forgive me for overseeing that. And so here he is, stressful, and he looked over at us and he said, "Can you pray for me?"
Oh, wow.
You know, and so we prayed for him, we blessed him, and so he's doing his study of this thing called chemistry that you know, Pat and I, we just had to pray, "Lord, touch him." And so in that, though, when he was leaving, he turned to us like a family member and said, "Thank you." Mm-hmm. This generation, they want family, authentic family. They don't want this organized, institutionalized thing. They actually want, relationship. And I'm excited about this new church. It's called Netcast Church, where they're believing to reach over 700,000 people, but it's millennials that are primarily turning there. Let's take a look.
January 23rd, a group of maybe 20 people gathered together here to start a church, not knowing what was going to happen. In the last year, we've seen about 700 people come through the doors of Netcast Church. We've seen about 100 people gathered together in about 8 different community groups. In the last year, there's been over 26,000 in-bed plays, downloads from our videos, 6 continents in every single state in the United States. Our influence is growing like crazy. Here we are, we're here standing in the YMCA where this thing began. We're moving, we're out of here. We started here at the YMCA and we've outgrown it. We're gonna be moving now to this place. And here we are. And when we started at the YMCA, I mean, we didn't really know what was gonna happen. And we had no parking, we had no seating, we had, you know, horrible acoustics and sound. We've got 150 parking spaces here on campus. We've got hundreds and hundreds of seats. Put your finger on this school right here and do about a 12-mile radius. You've got about 700,000 people in this area, where 2% of those people maybe attend an evangelical church. We could literally go 2 blocks to the right and be in Section 8 housing, and you go 2 blocks to the left and you're in multi-million-dollar mansions. And so the diversity here in this particular location is just really a great picture of what the gospel should be. We're just excited about, you know, the reality that we could mobilize so many people as a church here on this location to do so much ministry here in this region. Lives are going to be changed. We don't exist to just build an infrastructure. We exist for the glory of Jesus.
I want to encourage you, do not give up on the millennials. Even though you're seeing these statistics, we're one generation away from a pagan society, and it's for us to realize we need to reach the unreached and not just continue to reach the reached and moving on and coming for the lost and begin to reach them where they are. The one thing that's unique to his ministry, and I want to be able to close out in prayer, is that he just talks about it like it is. And people just want to hear you really talk about it. And that's why we always talk about our testimonies to let you know how horrific we are outside of Jesus Christ.
Right.
But God uses us and saved us, and he can save you too. You go to Meet My Father. .org to find out more details.
We'll be right back.
Has the Bible become invisible in the public life of America? Journalist Kenneth Briggs says it's hallowed as a treasure, but enigmatic and untouched.
Kenneth Briggs is a veteran religion reporter, formerly as religion editor at the New York Times, and now a contributor to the National Catholic Reporter. His 2 years crisscrossing America resulted in his book, The Invisible Bestseller, Searching for the Bible in America.
So what's the problem? Briggs says,
the Bible is kind of off the public grid in a way I've never experienced before. We still love it to some extent as an artifact, but people aren't reading it very much.
In Kenneth Briggs' opinion,
the Bible is the springboard to opening all kinds of ideas, thoughts, beliefs about what our life is all about. Without it, it narrows our perspective.
The Bible. Read it. Start a new conversation of its impact and influence.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. It's iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
As a church, we have to begin to wake up. And I think about two of God's generals that nailed it. Both of them were with the Lord, Peter Wagner and Steve Hill, but it was this October that Peter Wagner went to be the Lord. And they were talking to us mm-hmm. and telling us that other nations are beginning to advance in the church and leaving America behind. We need to wake up. Let's go there now and remember them.
Steve Hill here with Peter Wagner. And I just wanted to talk with you about something that's on my heart right now. This is going to be short, so what I want you to do is put your ears on, okay, and listen, because God's got a plan for every one of our lives. There's no doubt in my mind, there's no doubt in Peter Wagner's mind that he's got a plan for our lives, but oftentimes he sends messengers to speak to us. And we have to pay attention. We have to stop long enough to listen. And so it's good to have you with us in our studio. Peter Wagner, you just bless my heart. I mean, I just touching you blesses my heart because you've written how many books?
Well, who's counting? But I've written 73.
Oh, 73. Okay, 73 to my 12, but I still got some years on me, okay?
You do. So I just want to say that it's an honor for me to be with Steve Hill, a legend in our own time.
So
what a blessing it is to be here. And I hope the people who are listening really have their hearts stirred with what we're going to say.
Well, thank you so much. It's you get around us, and there's a lot of subjects we can discuss on, but I'm very limited, and we get calls from all over the world, and pastors want you to do this or do that, and I go, this is what I'll come do, okay? And I want to talk about a move of God, revival, just for a few minutes. And our nation right now is in terrible shape. Our nation needs something besides religion. And religion is hanging around the cross. Christianity is getting on the cross. Okay, religion is, and America right now is hanging around the cross. Okay, the cross has benefits. Okay, there's great benefits to Christianity. But Jesus got on it. And he talked to his disciples about getting on it. And so revival to me is a little bit more, there's a little bit more sacrifice involved in it. What should the message right now be from pastors, from prophets, from evangelists, from anyone who's in the ministry or anyone who calls themselves a Christian? What should the message be?
Well, you and I believe in revival. And I think that one of the keys to revival is Jesus' Great Commission. I mean, in Matthew quotes Jesus as saying to preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is saved will be saved, and who is baptized. And so seeing the numbers of people being saved and baptized and then folded into churches and churches multiplying in a way that they multiply so fast that they change society leads us into Matthew's quote of the Great Commission, where he tells us to make disciples of whole nations.
But you're talking radical stuff.
I know. Okay? What I'm saying is...
That's what bugs me, okay? Because how do I, okay? I'm an evangelist pastor, okay? You're everything, okay? And you get out there and you try to get that into somebody's heart, okay, is a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah, but it can. People can understand and listen and be born again and filled with the Spirit and move out and do that.
Well, you know I believe that,
yeah.
Okay? You know I believe that because we, you know, we have fruit. There's fruit that follows. But the message today, okay, in America is needful, okay? We're right now in a political year, okay? And every year is a political year. But I look at politicians, and they get up, and the one who has the fiercest voice, the one who has the most powerful message, the one who has this just undying passion, this unction, is the one that seems to slide into, you know,
the
voters' hearts. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking at Christianity, and I'm going, okay, the one who is passionate, the one who is able to, you know, at work, open their mouths and talk about the things of Christ rather than the things of just the Bible or the just sections or portions of the Scripture, the whole gospel. That's a concern of mine.
Absolutely. And based on the cross of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed and the salvation that he brought, that is what pastors need. And not just taking care of the sheep, but preaching the gospel that will move through their sheep to those who are not saved and touch them with the gospel and bring them in and continue that process. If we do that, we can see whole cities transformed.
Words fitly spoken. And I want to say to those pastors that are watching, if you're don't be offended by anything, okay? Because I'm an evangelist and a pastor and I've traveled all over the world, okay? And I'll stand in front of a group of people and don't worry about offending somebody and standing up and saying that they need to be a little bit stronger with their message. They need to be a little bit more forceful when they communicate with other people about the gospel, because we're not making progress.
I have some very strong opinions about that.
Yeah.
And what we see in America, as you've just said, Steve, can be very discouraging. I mean, we have dropped the ball terribly here in this country. In the last century, we didn't drop the ball.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel was spreading.
Mm-hmm.
There were people who were strong in the Lord. There were people who were going to church. There were people who wanted to see the kingdom of God come. Now that we've gone into the 21st century, we've dropped the ball. But now what God has done is he's tossed the ball to some other countries,
mm-hmm,
like China.
Okay.
I mean, China, I used to think until last week that China had the greatest church growth in the world. It did have the greatest harvest of souls from 1976 after the Cultural Revolution with the rural underground church. The greatest national harvest of souls in all history.
Yeah.
And I believe there are about 140 million Christians in China now, which would be 10% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think India was second, that India was about there, but not quite there. Last week, I was with some Indian leaders who told me, even though I insisted, I cross-examined them, I almost told them they were wrong. They wouldn't back down. India is 25% Christian now.
Mm-hmm.
That is an amazing, amazing statistic.
I want to break in right now and say to this should not offend anyone. What this should challenge you. This should challenge me. Okay, I'm a young man. Okay, and I'm speaking to many. You may say, well, you know, I'm this Peter. You're up in, I don't know, 70, 80s, whatever. But the bottom line is you got the fire of an 18-year-old, okay? and the vision. The vision. And you see the world laid out like God sees it laid out. He goes, listen, if you don't take this and run with it, if you don't take this pure gospel that I've given you, and it's simple. The gospel is not complicated. If you don't take this and run with it, I'm going to pass the ball to somebody
else.
You're
going to give it to somebody else. That's right.
I'm going to give it to somebody else, and they're going to run with it.
Exactly right.
That's what happened. Let me just ask you.
We need more people swallowed by whales like Jonah. He was going to take it from Jonah, but Jonah learned his lesson.
He learned his lesson, and I think revival came out of all
that's
that.
That's right.
We'll be right back. Are religious materials allowed to be displayed in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
There's a Christian school which is receiving money for a More at Four program for age four, and the woman who issues the money or checks to see if everything's okay said she was not allowed to put up a poster about Jesus.
Not true, and I'll tell you where this is coming from. The faith-based initiative that the Department of Education is operating under removed those kind of what we called ridiculous barriers so that faith-based groups can provide after-school care in a Christian setting, because you'd have to remove the cross from the church sanctuary or never make a reference to the Bible, and that's just not the case. So the law is very good on that. That's a misreading of it. We'll get you in touch with our legal department, Michelle, here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and get you some help right away.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You may be joining us today and you're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. And we try to share not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And so sometimes, some people need that, by the way. Some people need Saul of Tarsus experiences, okay, which he needed. He was on his way to really hurt some people, okay, and he needed to have an encounter. Some people need encounters with God that are violent, and other people need, like Lydia experiences, just, you know, kind. She was a seller of purple cloth and just became a believer. And so if God passes the ball to China, it's because China's going, and India, India, we go there, and my goodness, it's like you go, stop. They want to run the cross so quick. They you know, and they want to part.
We have one lady named Leanna in India. We commissioned her an apostle 3 years ago, and this is with Jayan's network. And at that time, one of the reasons we commissioned her, because she was outstanding. She had planted 3,000 churches in North India.
Uh-huh.
Last week, Cheyenne told those of us who are on his board that she has now planted 5,000. I mean, 2,000 churches in 2 or 3 years by a woman apostle. We need a few of those here in America.
I lived, you know, you speak Spanish. I speak Spanish. Oh, you lived in, was it Bolivia?
Bolivia.
Bolivia? And we lived in Argentina for years. And same thing. We would give an altar call. Someone would come forward, get saved. Next news you know, they've planted 3 churches. Blink your eyes. They've planted 10. Blink your eyes. And some North Americans down the road can't get anything off the ground.
Exactly right.
And I'm going, something's wrong. Something's wrong with the picture. Let me just ask a couple more things. And thank you so much for tuning in and just listening and letting God speak to you, because there's a great revival coming, a great move of God coming. Tell Jesus you want to be a part of it, okay? Would you do that? Tell Him today that you want to be a part of it, that you don't want to be left behind, okay? I don't want to be left behind. Okay, we talked about the message. How about the motive, okay? Because we have so many people entering the ministry. I talked to a young person the other day. I said, what are you going to do? He goes, I'm going into the ministry. And I said, define that. Okay, define that to me. What you're going into the ministry. How old are you? He said, I'm 23. And I said, oh, you're going into the ministry. Okay, nowadays, okay, you can go into the ministry and there's salary packages. Okay, a salary package, you know, is not something where a bunch of lettuce come. You know, this is, we're talking about a salary package where, you know, do I get a car? Do I get a house? You know, how much do I get a year? This is what, you know, are you going to pay me for, you know, and don't be offended again. Are you going to pay me for playing my instrument or all this? And, you know, a lot of that's not wrong. It is wrong if you got people playing instruments that are heathen. Okay, but this motive, I know why I entered it, because I wanted everyone to have what I have.
See, that's the difference. Many people go into the motive with for self. Their focus is on their self, and you just described that very well. And there are too many people in the ministry who are in the ministry for what I can get out of it. Even to get blessing out of it. Who's the blessing for? The blessing is for me. What you describe, Steve, is what I also believe. I believe that the motive for going into ministry is to allow the Spirit of God to use me to reach others, to help others fulfill the destiny that God has for their lives.
And from that, let me just tag on to that. This is so important. This is not all just a love feast, okay? When you get into the ministry, okay, you're going to get hurt. Jesus, you're gonna have Judases, okay? We've all had Judases, people that turn on you, people that you pour into, and so you may have this motive when you first start that I'm gonna, you know, the ministry, and you get in there and things go great for a few years. But all those who live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer some persecution. I mean, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, okay? If you're not suffering persecution, you're probably not living godly in Christ Jesus. That means if you're not going through some type of struggles, there's a good chance you're soft. Okay? There's got to be some type of passion. There's got to be something there. And so the motive, when I first got in the ministry, one of the first persons I ministered to killed themselves. Mm. And I was just in shock, because I thought everyone was just going to be like me. They were, because I was radically saved. Out of drug addiction and alcoholism, I thought I was going to be radically saved. And instead, I was sharing the gospel with people that didn't have the same background and didn't have the same desires. Okay, last question. What one thing or two things is keeping you going right now in this global outreach? Okay, and I personally believe that we're at the end of time. Okay, I believe the sand is at the bottom of the hourglass. Okay, what keeps you going?
What keeps me going is what I believe that God brought me into when I first got saved, the day I got saved. And the day I got saved, I was like the Apostle Paul. I got saved and I got called to the nations the same night. And so my calling is to help fulfill the Great Commission. And that's what keeps me going. The Great Commission is not fulfilled yet. And until the Great Commission is fulfilled, I am going to keep going. I'm only 81, But the Bible says in Genesis 6:3 that we're supposed to live be 120. Mm-hmm. So that's my goal. Mm-hmm. I want to keep going. I want to do whatever part God gives me to fulfill the Great Commission until I'm 120 or die trying.
So what you've done is the seed that was planted in you, as a, you said, the you know, Paul, the Saul of Tarsus conversion, the conversion. I had the same type of conversion. That same type of seed was planted in me. Okay. And years later, decades later, I mean, during the Brownsville revival and all, during the Argentine revival and all these revivals, and we pastor in Dallas now, same thing at the church. It's, they say, people come up and say, you haven't changed. You haven't changed. It's because that seed, if it's an apple seed, that's going to produce an apple. Okay, and Steve Hill, and I can see Peter Wagner, is not going to get out there and in midstream go, you know something, it's been good. It's been good, but there's a whole different avenue, and there's a whole different teaching that's coming down the pike, and I want to be a part of that. I want to thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
For coming and being with us and being a challenge to many generations. Okay, you cross over all these generations, which is really beautiful. And my generation, I haven't given up on. Okay, but my generation, I'm pouring. I have such a belief that there's a generation that's rising right now that are going to have that passion to see this world change for the glory of Christ. Thank you, brother.
Bless you.
I love you.
Thank you.
Thank
I love you,
for being
too.
With us.
Thank you.
That's two of God's generals that have gone to be with the Lord. You know, when I read God's Generals, the first time I read it, I thought, it just stopped. Lord, what do we do from here? And he's like, well, it's our generation that needs to carry the baton.
Yeah.
I want to pray for you right now. Maybe you're one of God's generals too. Father God, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to come. We thank you for these two men and this senator that stood up and is standing up for righteousness, Lord God. We thank you for David Dalyden and the investigation that took place. And we thank you for our viewers, God, that partner with us. God, bless them, encourage them this Christmas, Father God. Lord, we pray even right now, Lord God, that you would end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.